It is 23 minutes after the hour, that hour being 9 a.m. here on a Transcendent Tuesday along the Broken Road. We're joined by Dr. Don Clark, our staff biochemist. Every radio station should have a biochemist, by the way, and we're among the first, and we're so pleased that Don has joined up here. He's been with us just about every Tuesday morning for, Don, 8 years now, maybe 9 years. And we talk about things scientific. We talk about creation, the biblical story of creation. We talk about COVID. We've done that a number of times, and genetics and DNA. Fascinating discussions, always the case when Don is with us. David Allen Punt is also with us. He sounds a little different today. It's not biological, however. It's geological. He's in a motel room. That's Lazy Motel in Duluth. Well, no, it's a nice place in Duluth.
It's a nice Minnesota. Place.
Yeah, okay.
It's a nice place.
And
because it's a Monday, they gave me a cheap rate.
Yeah. Well, it looks like a nice room to me, except for the plastic fork and the paper cup. The rest of that could use a little dressing up, I suppose. But
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about an article that appears, and in fact, there's a link to it in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com right now. It's actually an article. It's a summary of a video that runs about 57 minutes. The video has been put together by Dr. Michael Yaden, who was, I'll read you a little bit of his bio here, life science researcher, former vice president and chief scientist of allergy and respiratory research at Pfizer. He's been working in the pharmaceutical industry for like 32 years and in the biotechnical field for the last 10 years. And he's done a video that he calls Planet Lockdown. That's the name of it. I have just a paragraph from him as to why he's doing this. The reason I'm commenting is because I believe it's not just about my life. More importantly, it's the lives of my children and grandchildren that are being stolen by a systematic process of fear and control that's going to culminate in, I think, some very horrible times, and I'm desperate to wake you up. Don, what's the gist of this? What point is he trying to make?
Well, I mean, in the article, he makes several points, several good scientific arguments. For example, this whole thing about the vaccines. And we're going to talk a little bit about that from the point of view of what the vaccines do and what they don't do. And that's one of his points. I mean, that particular comment was about the lockdowns. And I think there's a lot of people that would agree now that the lockdowns were not were definitely not necessary. The first excuse that they used, obviously, for the lockdowns was, well, we got to flatten the curve so that we have enough hospital bed space and so that we don't overrun the hospitals. So we're going to call a lockdown for 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks went into a year, and so you got to question the rationale behind that. And the main driving force, as he points out in the article, is this notion that asymptomatic individuals can actually spread the disease. And he rightly points out that is baloney. That's been proven over and over again that that's not the case. And why isn't it not the case? Well, if you have the virus, for example, and if you have a high enough concentration of the virus to infect other people, you are sick. And your body starts reacting to the virus by through the normal immune system response, which is fever, achiness, you know, the usual things that people normally complain about when perhaps even they have a common cold or when they get the flu. And he's, you know, and rightly, he rightly points out, for example, that, when you're sick, you have a much greater tendency of staying home because you don't feel like doing anything except lying in bed and suffering. And so the point that we lock down normal people who don't have any symptoms and who were feeling healthy was entirely the wrong thing to do, not only from the scientific point of view, but also from an economic point of view, obviously.
Essentially, no symptoms, no virus.
You may have a virus, but it's not the concentration of the virus in your body is not high enough to infect another person.
Gotcha.
Is his point. You may or may not have the virus. At any point, the viral load is so low that you're not going to infect another person. But the propaganda was that, well, we don't know who has the virus, and therefore, asymptomatic people who carry the virus could be infecting other people. And that's been proven over and over again not to be indeed the case. That's one point, but he makes several other good points. Now, with regard to the vaccine, so what is the vaccine doing? Well, these messenger RNA vaccines are basically, it's a new technology. It's experimental technology. There's all kinds of things, of course, that we don't know about this technology. And the purpose of the messenger RNA vaccine and the purpose of any vaccines is to make antibodies against a particular antigen. So the antigen in this case would be the virus. Or COVID-19, and the antibodies that you want to build up against that virus. So you need to expose your immune system to at least some part of the virus, in this case, the outer coat, which is the spike protein, in order to build up antibodies. Okay, so the messenger RNA, they're in liposomes, and the liposomes then merge with your cell walls, and it basically dumps the messenger RNA into your cytoplasm of your cell, and then the normal protein manufacturing mechanism of your cell then makes the spike protein. And once it makes enough of it, it dumps it into your bloodstream. And from there, your normal immune system then kicks in and says, oops, I got a foreign body in my system. Therefore, I'm going to make some antibodies.
So your body is tricked into thinking you have the virus. So it reacts as if it would to the real virus. But the virus is not necessarily present.
That's true. So now you have specific antibodies, for example, to the spike protein. And so therefore, you should be protected. And his point is, no, you're not. And the reason why you're not protected is a very simple one. So viruses, in this case, the respiratory virus, the COVID-19, is a very, very, and all viruses are very tiny. They're much smaller than bacteria, much smaller than protozoa or other types of parasites that might get into your bloodstream, for example. And their main purpose is to get into a cell as quickly as possible. So if they stay around floating in your blood system for any period of time, they're going to be, chewed up by other things, phagocytic cells, for example, and your white blood cells. So their main purpose, then, is to get into any cell and infect it. In this case, mostly your respiratory cells and in your lungs and your bronchioles and stuff like that. So now, think about it. Once the virus is inside the cell, it's in a different compartment than the antibodies to that virus.
Hmm.
And so the antibodies have absolutely no effect on the virus. And the virus then continues its normal process of making more of itself by using your cell's machinery, by the way, just like the mRNA vaccine. So the virus makes more of itself and makes more virus particles, and eventually the cell gets overrun with these viruses internally, and the cell ruptures and bursts, releasing more viruses into your bloodstream, which then quickly find other cells to infect, and the process starts all over again. So we should therefore anticipate that people who have gotten the vaccine will get the virus again. And now their infection may not be as great, because there is a probability that, you know, once the virus is in your bloodstream, if you have antibodies against the virus, the antibodies will latch onto it and help neutralize at least some of the viruses. But it's not going to neutralize all of the viruses, because of this process of the viruses quickly attaching to your cell and it getting internalized. And so vaccines for viruses have been known for years, for decades, not to be very effective. We are being told that these vaccines are 95% effective, which in reality is not true because of this process that Yaden described quite nicely in this article. So if, for example, and he gives an example of there are people, for example, that cannot make antibodies. They have a defective, one part of their immune system is defective, but they can very effectively fight against viruses. Well, how do they do that if they don't have the antibody? We've been told that the antibody is the answer to this problem. Well, the antibody isn't the answer to this problem. Another part of your immune system is the answer to the body, to this problem, and that's your killer T cells that are part of your immune system. So your killer T cells, for example, are the cells responsible for kind of crawling around your cells and finding ones that are infected. In this case, infected with the virus. And when they find one that's infected with the virus, they kill the cell and devour it. And so they're basically eating you, but they're eating the defective cells that have been infected by these, by the viruses. And so the best defense against viral infections are T cells and not antibodies. So we should be developing, or at least promoting, information on how do you enhance killer T cell activity. And how do we then enhance our immune system naturally, as opposed to doing it through this means of a vaccine. And so we're attacking his, the basis of his article really is that we're attacking the wrong place, that is by making antibodies, by vaccinating people and giving them a false sense of hope that now they're completely protected against the virus, which, of course, they're not. But we don't want to talk about that. So
what I'm hearing is the vaccine or no vaccine, you are equally susceptible to the virus. It's just that if you've had the vaccine, your symptoms may be milder.
Your symptoms may be milder for a period of time.
Ah.
As long as your antibody titers are up. Now, the interesting thing about the vaccine, and we've seen this in, actually in Israel, in other parts of other countries that have, and even in this country where we've done a lot of vaccination, and all of a sudden we get a spike in the COVID, COVID patients. And so why is that? Well, when your body is making antibodies, it shuts down your innate immunity. So something that would have normally protected you against the virus is now shut down because the virus, the body is putting its energy into making antibodies against the spike protein that, you know, you've been immunized.
So the vaccine disables or at least diminishes the effect of your T cells?
Yes, and your general immune system. Mm. So initially, when you get the vaccine, there's about a two-week window when you're actually more susceptible to the virus than you were before you got the vaccine. After the 2 weeks, your body, it takes about 2 weeks, 7 days.
You know, they've never explained that. They're always saying 2 weeks after you can take your mask off, for example. They've never explained why 2 weeks. I've never heard that explained before. This accounts for that.
Yes. It takes that long for your body to build up your antibodies so that now you've got at least a high enough titer, concentration in the blood is called a titer, high enough titer of antibodies in the blood to be effective.
But during that same two-week period, your basic immune system is somewhat diminished because of the vaccine.
It's greatly diminished, matter of fact. And Israel, who was immunizing almost everybody in the population, almost at the same time, found a tremendous spike in COVID patients after people got their shot, basically. Hmm. And we've seen, like I said, we've seen the same type of thing here as well. Okay, so now you've got the vaccine, you have antibodies, and you should be good. You should be good to go, right? Not really. I mean, okay, yes, now you got antibodies, and so there's a greater probability that, okay, any small virus that gets into your system, any low concentration of viruses that gets into your system, the antibodies will latch on to and hopefully completely neutralize, and your normal immune system then will clear it from your system. Now, as you go on, that antibody titer, that the concentration of antibodies diminishes over time, and you have much less of the antibody in your system as you did before. Within, let's say, you know, It might take 6 months, it might take a year before most of the antibodies concentration goes down. And now you really don't have from the antibody point of view, you're not getting all that much protection anymore, although there's some. But that doesn't matter because your immune system, like I said, the your greatest defense against viruses anyway are these T cells, you know, the killer T cells that go around and search for infected cells anyway. And your immune system is actually quite complex. I mean, when you think about it, your immune system needs to take care of all kinds of things. It needs to take care of fungal infection. It needs to take care of parasites, bacterial infections, viruses, and other types of infections that you get as you go along. So there is at least four or five different parts to your immune system. There's your innate immunity. There's your mucosal immunity, for example, your mucus in your nose and your mouth and everything actually is part of your immune system and blocks things from getting, you know, further down in your lungs and in your bronchia, for example. Of course, you've got the antibodies, which we've talked about. You've got the T cells, which you talked about. And then there is a complementary system that develops as well. So the immune system's quite complex, and to address the problem, if you will, of infection to only one part, which is the antibodies, especially for these small viruses, like I said, is not so effective, if you will. Now, let's look at other parts of the vaccine. And, another point that he makes in the article is about the booster shots. And we're already hearing from Pfizer that, oh, by the way, you may need another booster shot within a year of you being completely immunized. And why is that? Well, we need to build up the antibodies again. So you're going to need a booster shot. And, oh, by the way, there's all these variants that are being developed. And so we need to make sure that your booster shot has the variant encoded in it so that you're immune against the variant. Well, it's known that SARS viruses, for example, like the COVID-19, does produce variants. It's a natural thing. You know, viruses do have mechanisms for making sure that their RNA doesn't change much from, you know, one while it's being replicated in the cell, but even so, it's doing a lot of replications, and so some mistakes creep in and some variants form. But even in the worst case, it's been shown that the variants are only 0.3 different from the original sequence. Now, what does that mean? That means that the variant is 99.7% identical to the original one. And it has already been shown that, for example, in SARS COVID-1 patients from 18 years ago, the SARS virus that infected people 18 years ago, an experiment was done where they took blood from those patients. Now, this is 18 years after they've had the infection, and they treated it with the SARS-2, with the SARS-CoV-2, which is COVID, is COVID, 19, is COVID-19. Yeah. And they found that, and the difference between those two is 80%. I mean, the difference is 20%. So their homologous is about 80%. So there's a 20% difference. They found that the blood was effective in neutralizing the SARS COVID-19. So a 0.3 difference isn't going to make any difference. It's not a great enough difference to even matter. So, giving you a booster shot against variants doesn't make any sense. But even so, they say, well, let's just top you off, make sure you got enough antibody titer in there to do something. And
they know your immune system is the primary defense, not the antibodies. I mean, they know this. You're suggesting that science knew this all along, that it was T cells and your immune system that was the real defense, not the vaccine.
Exactly. Yes. Mm. I mean, this is old science. Decades old. It's not something new that was discovered. This is decades old. This is the main defense against viruses, are your killer T cells, not antibodies. Although antibodies, like, play a role. They will help neutralize a certain percentage of the viruses that get in there. But of course, once you've had the virus, you have been immunized. That's another issue. Mm-hmm. You've already been immunized. So why do you get immunized again? Doesn't make any sense. Okay. So there are other problems, though, with the vaccines. And these vaccines, these mRNA vaccines, they have, for example, polyethylene glycol on them. PEG, that's part of the fat that makes up your the liposomes in the system. It's basically a carrier system to get the virus, to get the messenger RNA into your cells. Now, about 70% of the people injected with this have developed antibodies against polyethylene glycol that's on the carrier, if you will, for the vaccine. Now, what does that mean? Let's think about it. If you get a booster a year from now, and you have antibodies against the polyethylene glycol, there is a greater chance that you are going to have an immune response to the polyethylene glycol and to this second injection that you get, you know, down the road. I know there's two injections with these, but I'm not talking about the ones that are 2 to 3 weeks later. I'm talking about ones about this booster, which is going to be a year down the road. Now, you could, for example, have an anaphylactic shock. You could go into anaphylactic shock, that is, have a hyperimmune response to this next booster that they want to give you a year down the road because of the fact that, hey, you've got antibodies against the against the polyethylene glycol, and now we inject more polyethylene glycol into your system, and voila, you have a response. Now, not everybody's going to respond, you know, vehemently against that, but your immune system has now been primed that says, oh, this is a foreign substance, so I've got to attack it. And some people will attack it vigorously. Some people's immune system will attack it vigorously. And we're going to probably see much more reactions to the booster shot than we did from the first one to begin with. Now, what happens when the titers of antibody start dropping? Then you can have a condition that is called non-neutralizing antibodies. And what that means is, gee, you don't have enough antibody in your system to completely neutralize the virus. Well, you don't have that anyway. And some viruses, like I said, are going to get to your cells regardless of the antibodies. But in this case, you develop a hyperimmunity to the virus. And so what normally your body could have handled, now you may be setting yourself up for a hyperimmunity if you get the virus, let's say, a year down the road or 6 months down the road from the time of getting the vaccine. And so we should... you know, we may see, I'm not saying that we will, we may see some more, you know, greater reactions to the virus and more people getting sick than they normally would have had they just let well enough alone. So anyway, this whole business of the vaccine and the boosters and all of this is... potentially setting us up for having some major reactions, you know, down the road. It didn't make any sense to vaccinate young people. It doesn't make any sense to vaccinate young people. The problem is in the older people. This is, you know, so the COVID-19 is, you know, no worse, as we've now find out, than, for example, a bad flu. And so we know that the virus, that the deaths, for example, differentiate greatly between those 70 years older and then younger. You have a very low chance of dying. You may get a little sick, but you're not going to die. And now we have many substances, many other things that we can do to ameliorate the symptoms, for example, and to ameliorate the effects of the virus in order to get protection from normal, for example, normal safe pharmaceuticals And so the need for a vaccine is questionable, at least in my mind, and certainly highly questionable in Yadin's mind as well.
Well, what we've heard this morning is the science. What we haven't talked about are the politics, and maybe that's best left for another time. Why science knew this to begin with and didn't present it this way suggests that there's some other motivation involved on the part of somebody here. And lockdowns and vaccination cards and such things are subject to misuse. And the lockdowns themselves, apparently, I mean, it's amazing to me that so many lockdowns occurred and still the pandemic occurred. The lockdowns did not seem to abate the pandemic, although that's kind of a logical fly in the ointment, because if you didn't do it, we don't know what would have happened if you didn't lock down. We can only speculate.
Well, I mean, there was a country, at least, that didn't lock down, mm-hmm. and they fared quite well. And, of course, we have states that opened up early, and they have fared much better than states that continued the lockdown. Mm-hmm. So, anecdotally, one would think, hey, you know, the lockdowns are counterintuitive. You know, we shouldn't be doing it.
Don, thank you. Dr. Don, a biochemist, a member of the board at creationmoments.com. I want to mention their website to you because there you will find a wealth of resources that support the biblical story of creation. There's science there, too. And we look forward to next week again, Don, when we can continue this or we can move on to another subject. But it's always fascinating, and we learn stuff from you. And we're grateful. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Well, you're quite welcome. And you folks have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doug.